I think this is the second last part of our family, series that we've started. I think this is the, when did we start? The beginning of the second, third quarter. So for the whole second semester, we looked at how did God intend family to operate? So what is the role of the father? What is the role of the mother? And I'm going to stand still looking at just a specific part of the role of the father in affirming his children. And not only how the physical us as fathers affirms our children, but also how God's the father affirms us. So I stand here really, I don't feel equipped enough to do this part, a father affirming the potential of his child. And I probably, when our baby is getting born or when she's 1 year old, I'm going to stand here and say, sorry, I thought I know how. But so I just want to share that. I'm standing here with a lot of humility. And I also need your help in this because I don't know it. My perspective is only youth. So from 13 to 18, that's my perspective that I have. So I don't have the whole scope. So I'm going to need your help in that as well. So we're going to look at how God the Father firstly affirms us. And just how when we create an environment of affirmation and a kingdom culture, how people, and especially children, naturally function to their optimum potential. If we create a biblical culture, we don't have to push them all the time, but if we create the culture, they will prosper automatically. So Nala, if you can go to the next slide. While flying back from the US, a 16-hour flight, I thought, Lord, how will I get this time over? So I bought a book called Culture Code. Culture Code, very interesting book. And in the introduction, there's a story about an experiment that they did at the University of Stanford, California, and Tokyo. And they challenged kindergarteners and engineer students to build a structure. And the challenge was between the two groups to see who can build the tallest structure. And they would be the winners. So the only material that they have in the next slide is 20 pieces of uncooked spaghetti, so the long spaghetti sticks, 1 meter of sellotape, 1 meter of string, and then a normal marshmallow. So the only... not catch, but the only requirement was that the marshmallow must end on top of the structure. Okay, so they gave the engineer students their staff and also the kindergarteners, and they gave them about 30 minutes to build the structure and to see whose structure will be the tallest. And the engineer started with their processes, something similar like this. That's the goal that they must build. So the engineer started. If you can go, just they plan very strategically. So they ask very savvy questions. They were detailed in their thinking. They followed the best idea. So their whole process was very professional, rational, and intelligent. So they would gather together, strategize, get the best idea, and then they would split, and each engineer will focus on his part, and then they would come together again and just put everything together. So on the other side, the kindergarteners, they did not plan or strategize. So kindergarteners, their average age was about 5 years old. So they did not strategize, they did not analyze, they did not ask a lot of questions. They did not share the best ideas. They basically followed no plan or strategy. They were very close to each other. It was loud, talking a lot, and they just started to build. And while at the other side, on the engineers' camp, it was very quiet, structured, and they weren't like physically so close to each other. So they were working apart. And this is the results. So the size of the engineer's structure was 25 centimeters, and the kindergartner's was more than double the size, 66 centimeters tall. And I thought, how can this be? How can this be? How can five-year-olds like win a competition against engineers? How is this possible? And I see disbelief on your face. When I read it, I also thought, this can't be true. And I grabbed my computer, went onto Google, and they confirmed it. They also did the same test with kindergartners and a group of lawyers. The kindergartners, they won again. So I started to read up about it. How did they do it? The kindergartners, they just tried a bunch of stuff together, basically. While the engineers, their process was intelligent. They used their combined skills and their experience. And this is the challenge. We normally think when I have the skills, the experience, the talent, 1 + 1 = 2 in the engineer's case. And I still see a lot of confusion. I'm going to explain. So just go to the next slide. What matters is how they interact with each other. So on the engineer's side, they thought, who is in charge of this process before they even started? Who's in charge here of this group? Can I criticize someone's idea if I don't agree? What are the rules here in this group? So they were not focused entirely on the task, but more focused on the insecurities and in the group dynamics, the pecking order, who's in charge here. They are uncertain about one another. And on the other side, the kindergartners, their behavior is efficient and effective. They just ask short questions. They didn't compete for status. They stood shoulder to shoulder, so against each other, very close. And they work energetically together. They offer help and took a lot of risks. Just go to the next slide. The kindergartners, they succeed not because they are smarter, but because they work together in a smarter way. So it's not that they are smarter, but they worked in a smarter way. They created basically a high-performance culture, a kingdom culture. And I want to, normally in the Christian environment, performance has become a negative word. So when I talk about performance, it talks about kingdom fruit that we bear, good fruit, okay? So in the kindergarteners, for them, 1 + 1 = 10. It wasn't about the individual contributions, but how they functioned together as a group. And this, when I read this, it automatically took me back to our series of the role of the father and the role of the mother and the potential of our families, the potential of our children. It's not so much to develop their specific skills, but how do we create a kingdom culture where they can function in their optimum potential? How do we create an environment where they feel affection, love, and acceptance, and then automatically they will excel and reach their optimal potential? I'm going to explain a bit further. I see. So how much weight do you think can one horse pull? How much weight can one horse pull? Anyone? Philip, one? 1 ton. Okay? Anyone disagrees with Philip? Okay, so one horse can pull about 1 ton. 2 tons, sorry. 2 tons. And if I put them in the opposite direction, how much weight can they pull? Just stay there, Nala. So if I let them pull in the opposite direction, so each one of them pull 2 tons, so together they pull about 4 tons, correct? But if I put them together, how much weight can they pull? Okay, 6? 6? 10? Okay, let's see. If I put them together, they can pull about 16 tons. Can you believe that? And I want us to get this. The role of the father and the role of the mother, if we function optimally in God's design, we create a high-performance kingdom culture. And that's the whole idea that I want to share with us. How can we function in the role of the father and the mother so well that the focus is not the potential of our children, but we create a culture where they automatically will prosper? Okay, just go. Family is spelled team. Family is spelled team. So how can we create... So the whole second semester, we focused on how can we, as father and mother, create a kingdom culture in our houses. And let's just go to the next slide. We've skipped a slide, but if you ask Google and even the Navy SEALs top team, what makes them so excellent? In Google, what drives the excellence in the company? They would all say it's how we react, how we relate to one another. We are like family, they all will say. We are like family. And the big company started to notice that if we create a family environment of acceptance, affirmation, and approval, our workers prosper in a different way. And I think that is what the aim for me was when I think of the second semester. If we function well in our roles as fathers and mothers, our children will prosper. To skip this slide, Nala, I don't want to spend time on this. So highly successful groups, they relate to one another as family. The kindergarteners, in the way how they operated in building the structure, they operated like family. That's what make them successful. And how can we as a body even here create a high performance or kingdom culture where we prosper, where we affirm each other in our potential? And God's kingdom will just grow in this town and in this region. Let's go to the next slide. So I looked again at what is the role of the father and the mother. I just want to quickly go through it again. A father establishes authority. So how does a father establish authority? He must know his mission, their mission as a family, and what is their values as a family. The father confers identity. The father provides security, so emotional and physical security. And then a father affirms potential. And we're going to look at that just a bit, how God the Father affirms us, how God the Father affirmed Jesus. So that is just the roles again when we look back in this semester. And then on the other side, the roles and the functions of a mother is letting him shine. God the Father created the woman to be the helper of Adam, of the husband, enhancing closeness. How does the wife enhance closeness? Fulfilling the female design. How did God create woman? And then connectedness and compassion. And I think last week, we stood still by creating a space of worship. How does the wife take lead in creating a place of worship? So I know I'm taking a long turn here to get to the point. But what happens if the father does not operate in his role? What happens if the mother does not operate in her design or neglect their responsibilities? And I want to show you a quick video clip of what we see among the young people. So it's so easy for us to see in youth, this one's father is absent, or this one's mother is absent, because we can see the fruit and in the way they react to certain things. I want to show you a quick video clip of what happens if we as fathers and mothers does not fulfill our roles.
Hey, line up! Line up! Everybody line up! We're about to race! Everybody line up! Shoulder to shoulder, take off your backpacks, basketball, line up, we're about to race. Hey, we are racing for a $100 bill. The winner of this race will take this. It's a $100 bill. Before I say go, I'm gonna make a couple statements. If those statements apply to you, I want you to take two steps forward. If those statements don't apply to you, I want you to stay right where you're at. Take two steps forward if both of your parents are still married. Take two steps forward if you grew up with a father figure in the home. Take two steps forward if you had access to a private education. Take two steps forward if you had access to a free tutor growing up. Take two steps forward if you've never had to worry about your cell phone being shut off. Take two steps forward if you've never had to help mom or dad with the bills. Take two steps forward if it wasn't because of your athletic ability, you don't have to pay for college. Take two steps forward if you never wondered where your next meal was going to come from. I want you guys up here in the front just to turn around and look. Every statement I've made has nothing to do with anything any of you have done. Has nothing to do with decisions you've made. Everything I have said has nothing to do with what you've done. We all know these people up here have a better opportunity to win this $100. Does that mean these people back here can't race? No. We would be foolish to not realize we've been given more opportunity. We don't want to recognize that we've been given a head start. But the reality is we have. Now, there's no excuse. They still got to run their race. You still got to run your race. But whoever wins this $100, I think it'd be extremely foolish of you not to utilize that and learn more about somebody else's story. Because the reality is, if this was a fair race and everybody was back on that line, I guarantee you some of these black dudes would smoke all of you. And it's only because you have this big of a head start that you're possibly going to win this race called life. That is a picture of life, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing you've done has put you in the lead that you're in right now. When I say go, on your mark, Get set. Go. If you didn't learn anything from this activity, you're a fool.
En wanneer ek na hierdie video kyk, dan daag het my uit. En dit in English. I'm very challenged when I look at this video clip. And I'm challenged in terms of just being a father in the next couple of months. And how can I walk in my biblical role as a father? How can Janelle walk in a biblical role as a mother? Because if we function in our godly design, our children will prosper. And there's a direct relation between fatherlessness and poverty. So if you look at, for instance, let's take an example close by, like in Nduli. So the poverty is very high. The rate of fatherlessness is also very high. So there's a direct relation between the two. Ons kinders word met 'n agterstand gebrek groot wanneer pa en ma nie in hul ontwerp stap nie. Let's go to the next one. A father validates potential. We don't follow culture, we make culture. Even if this is in the video that we've seen, if that's the culture of society, we can't just follow that. God has called us to make culture. And through living and walking in our designs as mothers and fathers, we create a kingdom culture where our children can reach their full potential. Now, just quickly go to symptoms of neglect, of affirmation. So we normally, at youth, I love to do icebreakers or activities. You can ask Stephen. Not because of the fun of it, but because I can see how somebody operates. And what symptoms are there in his life. So it's basically a game or an activity is a simulation of real life. And we can identify some of these symptoms. So, and I want you also to prayerfully just read through this list. I do not know what my real value or my unique significance is. This is some of the symptoms of a neglect of affirmation. I observe compliments with suspicion. I don't really believe it. Do you want something from me? That's why you're giving a compliment. I do not feel I have any contribution to make in a group. I don't feel valued. I always feel uncertain. It's never clear to me. I always question myself. I try to impress people all the time. I struggle with immaturity. I want you, maybe some of these symptoms applies to you and your personal life. I just want to give us 30 seconds to 1 minute just to bring it before God. Tell God, Father, I struggle with this. This is still an issue in my life. I want to bring it this morning before you. Maybe just go to the next slide as well so it continues. I do not understand the significance of this specific phase of my life. So in what phase of your life are you currently in? Are you a teenager? Are you a student? Are you a young married couple? Or are you a grandparent? Do you understand the significance of that phase of your life. I do not trust someone giving me compliments. It is very difficult for me to discern my gifts and talents. I don't know how God has made me. I don't know my gifts, my talents. It's because of a lack of affirmation in your life. I do not feel supported. I do not know if I have what it takes to be successful in life. I don't believe that I can be successful. Maybe you struggle with that. I'm not sure if I will ever meet up to expectations. Maybe it's my father's expectation. Maybe it's my mother's expectation. So just bring this symptoms before God and say, Father, I invite you this morning to speak truth into maybe my insecurities or lies or past hurts. I'm just going to give a moment where we just bring ourselves before God. So Father, okay, that you know our hearts, you know our hurts, and that you know our struggles. And this morning, we want to invite you into that painful areas, maybe dark and hidden areas of our heart. And we invite you just to come and enter and maybe just show our insecurities to us, for some. Maybe for others, even to come and heal in this moment. Father, my prayer is this morning that you help us to forgive maybe our fathers for not affirming our potential or creating the biblical culture in the house, or even our mother's father or other family members. We want to bring them before you. Maybe it's so tough for some of us to ask for forgiveness, to forgive our parents. But the grace of God enables us to forgive this morning. The grace of God helps us to go past our fleshly desires and thinking, but to forgive in a supernatural way through the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that healing is taking place. And it's all because of you and the work of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that some of us don't need to doubt ourselves anymore. That some of us don't need to wonder, do I have what it takes to be successful in life? And that we can just replace the lie with your truth, that we are made in your image, that we are your sons and daughters, that you love us so well, that you are so proud of us this morning. We declare the truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I remember I was about 19 or 20 years old, and some people at the university nominated me for a leadership role, and I had to think the evening, do a speech in terms of why they must select me in this position. And the devil came that day with a lot of accusations, telling me, Anshin, you are not good enough. You are not of the right color. You come from a small school, a small town. Your parents aren't rich. So with a lot of accusations, and I started to doubt myself. Do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes to step up in this leadership position? I remember going for a jog at Kutzenberg, and where God the Father just changed my heart completely. And it's this monument moment in my life where I heard God speak to my heart, tell me, Anshin, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I would never forget that. And I also heard God tell me in that moment that never again I want you to doubt yourself, your significance, and who I made you to be. And Gutenberg and that specific place in the mountain has a specific, very significant role in my life still today, because that is where I heard God's affirmation in my specific life. And I want to read you just a scripture in Matthew 3, where John baptized Jesus. Verse 16 say, "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest upon him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased.'" God the Father telling Jesus, "You are my Son, and I'm so pleased with you." Affirming Jesus. And you know what is so amazing for me about God the Father's heart is that Jesus didn't do any miracle yet. His ministry only started. And that was the words of God the Father. "You are mine. I'm proud of you. And I love you." And that's the three things everybody want to hear in this world. "I love you. I accept you. And I'm proud of you." And if we can create a culture in our houses, or even in this church, love, acceptance, affirmation, acceptance, and approval, then we will prosper. The kingdom of God will spread. People will discover their gifts and their potentials like never before. In all aspects of life, we will prosper. Heaven will come down to earth because we create biblical culture. Creating an environment of acceptance, approval, and affection increases potential. We've seen it in the kindergarten experiment. We've seen it in big companies like Google. I've read another statistic. When there's a high-performance culture in any company, their net income in 10 years will grow with more than 700%. It's done by Harvard University in more than 200 companies. They get it. And they're applying biblical principles. I just want to read four short scriptures to us of how God approves of us as his children. "Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these." How amazing is this? God the Father, Jesus, telling us that we will do greater things because he knows and sees our potential. "Again, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you." So as the Father has sent Jesus, he's sending us. He's affirming our potential. Isn't that amazing? "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors." We represent Christ on earth. God the Father, who created the universe, we represent him. How amazing is that? And then lastly, in 2 Corinthians 6, "As God's fellow workers, we urge you," and then the scripture goes on, "but we are God's fellow workers." Amazing affirmation from God the Father. Affirmation of positive behavior produces far better developmental results than correction or negative behavior. And how can we build this into our culture? In our biblical culture, in our families, but also at work or even here in church. Simply put, affirmation is a better educator than correction. Go to the next slide. I remember, and I want to conclude with this story. We just when we started sport ministry in this area, we went to a lot of schools and we shared the vision of sport ministry. And I remember, if you go to the next slide, Nala, the person just on the far right, Anele, him coming for the first volleyball practice in Nduli. So he was on time and very eager to play volleyball, but he didn't have the skill at all. No hand-eye coordination, but he's so faithful. So we didn't have a choice to include him just in the team because he was so faithful, always on time, helping us to pick up and to set up. And one day I asked Anele, do you like volleyball? He said, no, he doesn't like volleyball at all. So I asked him, why do you come? And he told me very profound words, because I feel accepted here. I feel loved here. That's why I come. So he's the worst volleyball player. But today, so it is 4 years later, and he's still in charge of the volleyball. He's done with school already. And he still runs the volleyball like 2 to 3 times a week in Nduli. But he's the worst player ever. I hope you guys... I must like take a video and just show you next time. But he's really not good. But because he felt the love, acceptance, and approval, he stayed. And something switched on. So I asked him in the beginning of the year, what is one of your biggest challenges, Anele, growing up? So it was a whole group of 10 guys, and all of them shared, I grew up without a father. No one to approve my potential. And that was really challenging for me. And just today, he knows that he can step and fulfill that role as a father to many other children who are fatherless in the community. So he organizes volleyball. And in the week we had... coffee, and he said, no, we must start soccer now because we can reach a lot more children with soccer. I hope he's better at soccer than volleyball. But he understands the principles, and that is just beautiful. I'm just going to share 2 last important things. So affirm according to the needs of every season for your children. So for instance, between 0 and 6, the intellectual phase, tell your children, wow, you're so clever. You're doing well. Between the physical phase, 9 and 12, you are so strong to the boys. So affirm your children in every season. Then another thing that I'm really passionate about is find the unique character, skill, passions of your children. So I know Chad does Strength Finder, or what do you call it, Strength Finder. I'm passionate about this. So there's a lot of tools that also can help you to understand your children better. I know in the parenting they do Palamboom, and I'm not familiar with all those terms. But it's important because each and every child is different. But it helps you to understand their uniqueness. In our marriage, it helped me to understand Janelle in a better way. So how does he think? What does he values? So I think it's important to spend time and find the unique style or characteristics or values of your children and affirm them in that. Then the last thing that is big, the last, I think, 7 or 5 years, fathers should constantly confirm the uniqueness of the gender of his children. So girls should be validated for their femininity and boys for their masculinity. It is so important. And we've seen as fatherlessness increased over the last couple of years, so also gender confusion. So we really play an important role to just affirm them in their specific, unique gender identity. Then I didn't have this at the specific ages, a rite of passage. So just to give you some background, when my mother was 21 years old, I was born. So she was still at university, and my father just started to work. So I missed a lot of stuff that we are learning here. But there's also a place where God can come and heal those wounds. And this was quite significant for me, the rite of passage. I think I was 25 years old when my mentor just did a rite of passage into adulthood, into manhood with me. Just affirming. I think it's so important for fathers to affirm their children in those specific transitions. So 12 to 14, when your body starts to change, you're not a small kid anymore, just to affirm them into young adulthood. And there's specific ways that you can do it. You can ask us at the office if you need info. But it helps with identity, affirmation of potential, just the uncertainty that goes along with that, just to release them into young adulthood. And then 21 years, again, release them into adulthood. You're not a child anymore. You're a man. You're a woman. You're beautiful. You're made in God's image. And if you, with the 21 years old, if you know specific calling or specific skills that God has blessed that child or person with, just affirm it in a ceremony. It's a monument moment in the young people's lives that you'll never forget, because Satan always come and ask you the question, are you good enough? Who are you? Can you do this? And then you have that specific monument moment where your father, where God the Father, through your father, affirmed that specific skills or calling on your lives. I think this is very, very important. And we have some guidelines just about this. And then I think it's just the symptoms, again, of neglect of affirmation. So just the big picture again, to sum it all up, the focus, how can we as fathers and mothers walk in our biblical design, the roles and responsibilities, and through that, we'll create a biblical culture that automatically affirms the potential of our children. If you need specific prayer or want us to pray into the symptoms of neglect, I want to invite you forward and stay afterwards. I know that specific moment in my life in Stellenbosch where God healed me from a lot of stuff. And I know sometimes when I step outside of God's grace, those insecurities still surface, you know? But then I know I must pray and ask God for His grace again. But let's trust God. If you are still struggling with some of those symptoms, just to stay after, that we can trust God for healing in those areas. Okay, let's pray together.